I just returned from a three-day summit in Santa Cruz, which means Holy Cross, with the prayer intercessor session leaders of California. And Isaiah 35 was the closing scripture. Now, in the midst of Isaiah's 39 chapters of judgment on the nations and Israel, right stuck in the middle is a song of hope. And it follows the chapter that many theologians believe could be a prophecy of the Great Tribulation. In this promised chapter, there's a renewed earth and a redeemed, restored people. Folks, we are the redeemed. We are the resurrection life people. Now, as Paul said, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. That's Colossians 3, 1 through 2. We spoke of that the other week. The word for seek is zeteo. The word for set your mind is phroneo. I love that. Zeteo, phroneo. We pray the prayer on earth as it is in heaven. Now, is that just for the final kingdom, the final generation, expecting the return of the Lord? Or could we actually see God's kingdom come and God's will be done on the Mendocino Coast? Yeah. In California? Yeah. In our nation? Yeah. Good. I'm glad you've got faith. Yeah. Now that's what we're praying for.
Right.
Now, Isaiah 35, if we took the 66 books of the Bible and put them alongside the 66 chapters of Isaiah 35 would line up with the prophet Habakkuk. And in the high point of Habakkuk is Habakkuk 2:14, which says, quoting Numbers 14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Get happy, people. That is the prophecy. Thank you. Here on the coast, our redemptive analogy, we call it Glass Beach. When we harvested the forest, we dumped all our trash in the ocean. What wonderful stewards we were. Little did we know that decades later, people would be coming all over the world to hunt for little pieces of turbulently turned glass of many colors. We are known as Glass Beach, where God has turned, the ocean has turned our trash into treasure. Can God do that? Can he take your brokenness and turn it into blessings? Can he take your stumbling blocks and make it a stepping stone? Can he take your mess and turn it into a message? Can he take your test and turn it into a testimony? God can take our trash and turn it into treasure. What a message. Now, when God had his people inherit the land, it was flowing with milk and honey. Milk speaks of animals. Honey speaks of agriculture. Okay, so it was a land of plenty. He told them that they would live in cities that they never built. They would eat from gardens they never planted. They would drink wine from vines they never cultivated. Why? Because the meek, got any meek in the house? The meek shall inherit the earth. That is Psalm 37. That is the flip-flop Psalm 73. That's in the Beatitudes. The meek get the earth. How many of you are excited about taking control of the earth and the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea? So, God can bless the wicked with prosperity because he knows he's going to hand it over to the righteous. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the Righteous. Okay, are you guys excited?
Yeah.
Okay, now, when we talk about God healing the land as the watchwords of 2 Chronicles 7:14 formula for restoration speaks of, Isaiah 35 is an example of what and how God will do it. We all know, if my people, say it with me, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. How many would like the salmon to come back? How many of you want the abalone again? Can God heal our land? What's the requirement? Humility?
Repent.
We turn from our wicked ways, and God will heal the land. And Isaiah 35 is a picture of how he wants to do that. Now, certainly, California has experienced verse 13. Here's what verse 13, prior to, if my people, when I shut up heaven, that there is no rain, thank God it's raining today, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send a pestilence among my people, then if my people, dot, dot, dot. Now, have we had drought, folks?
Yeah.
Six fire seasons. Have we had pestilence or plague?
Yeah.
Think of AIDS. Think of the coronavirus. We're in a deep purple zone, which means everything is shut down, as well as the threat of famine. Now, that's symbolized by devouring locusts. In Joel, there's four waves of locusts, and each one takes a bite out of agriculture. And so we might not have literally had locusts like Africa, East Africa has. I got a call from a Kenyan pastor saying, the locusts have wiped out our economy. Can you send us money? I was able to do that, thank God. Now, what if California turned to the Lord? Is that possible?
It's possible. It's happening.
What about, God sent Jonah to a place called Nineveh. They were the arch enemies of God's people. Jonah reluctantly ended up, preached the message, and from the top to the bottom, everybody repented. Could that happen in California? Oh, ye of little faith, come on now. What if California turned to the Lord? What if the works done by Jesus were done by Dan and Jim and Suzanne and Angela and Val and Sally and Rents in Mendocino? Didn't the Lord say if the works done in Bethsaida and Capernaum had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago? If they'd been done in Sodom, they would have repented long ago. And so, we cry out with Psalms 85:6, will you not restore your people again? Will you not revive your people again, O Lord? Now, interestingly enough, California looks a lot like the land of Israel. How many of you have been to Israel? Okay, thank you. You might not have seen this correlation, but as we know, if you go completely around the world from Jerusalem, you end up just off the California coast. Could it be that God created a land much like Israel, which he wanted to touch and use to bless the nations? I would like to suggest when Jesus said the uttermost parts of the earth, he was talking about where you live. Now, we too have a Carmel, which is in our passage today. Carmel means a fruitful hill. We have a mountain of the king. Monterey means mountain of the king in Spanish. Israel had its cedars. We have our redwoods. Israel had a Highway of the King. We have the El Camino Real, which means highway of the king. We have these string of missions going all the way from Baja up to San Francisco and Sonoma, where the gospel was brought. And like Israel, we have a southern state, which is pretty much arid and dry and desert. And then we have a verdant green north. And in the north of Israel was a place called Lebanon. Lebanon means white. White for snow-capped mountains. One of the main prominent ones was Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon was the source of the Jordan River. We get the Sierras, white-capped, our Lebanon, white-capped mountains, with Shasta, which is the origin of the Sacramento River. Now, San Francisco was named after the patron saint, Saint Francis, who was known for two things: eschewing wealth and sexual purity. Now, have we kind of moved away from that at all, folks? Is it time to return to the Lord? Is it possible? Okay. Well, here in California, we have the El Camino Real, the Highway of the King, and it connects to a world-class port, and then it goes to the Redwood Highway, and the Redwood Highway takes us right up to the Redwoods of Northern California. And the Redwoods were brought down to these two little towns called Mendocino and Fort Bragg, and a little place in between. We know that Zarephath was somewhere between Tyre and Sidon. We don't know where, but that's where Elijah went when he was being chased by Jezebel. And believe it or not, that's where Jesus went when Herod thought he was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Jesus goes to Zarephath, somewhere between Tyre and Sidon. He heals the Syrophoenician woman, and the rest is history. He goes from there to Decapolis, which means 10 cities. He preaches the gospel, and the kingdom of God goes forth to the nations. From ground zero. Now, Jerome Ford comes up to scavenge the frolic near where we lived in Casper. He looks ashore and he says, "Oh, there's the treasure." He builds the first mill at Casper Creek, creating the world's fifth largest economy. Right here, folks. And I lived in Hawaii in a tongue and groove redwood house milled on the Mendocino coast. And my great-grandfather ran the shingle factory on the Navarro River, where we have a mission base on the ridge. Yeah. And they're out there right now preaching the gospel. Now, the cedars of Lebanon were brought down to these two Mediterranean seaport cities of Tyre and Sidon. They were brought down to Joppa and carried inland to build David's paneled house and Solomon's temple. So, do you think that God would like to use the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to reach the nations from this place? Yes. Could it be that revival could break out here? Yes. Well, Henry and Grace Fellaini, friends of mine, have documented in their book, Gold, God, and Glory, California Spiritual Heritage. It happened in Los Angeles in 1906. Yeah. A revival. People were praying. William Seymour on Bonnie Bray House was praying. They'd been praying. And the glory of God came down and filled that place, and it reverberated throughout the nations from the city of the angels. Then in the 70s, in a little town called Novato, where I had the privilege of pastoring for 18 years, on Center Road, three couples lived together, Rick and Megan Sachs, along with Lonnie and Connie Frisbee, and others, they'd go into San Francisco to Haight-Ashbury, preach the gospel, bring them back to the Novato Jesus House, disciple them. Lonnie goes down to Calvary Chapel, launches Calvary Chapel, which has gone worldwide, then launches the Vineyard Movement, which has gone worldwide, and then Toronto Vineyard has a move of God. And folks, guess what? It all took place here. The wells of revival from California have been felt around the world. Can I get an amen for God doing it again? Again. Dig those wells, Lord. Or maybe we should dig the wells. California stands today as a leader in communication, the arts, entertainment, and technology. It's still the fifth largest economy in the world, California. We can disciple the world in filth, or we can disciple them in faith. So let's read Isaiah 35. Now there's a little string here of feeble, fearful, blind, deaf, lame, and dumb. Does that describe you or somebody you know? Okay. Do we qualify for an Isaiah 35 visitation? You bet. Okay. Let's listen to the remedy. The songs we sing today are taken from Isaiah 35. Here it is. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon, the cedars, will be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon. Sharon means plain. They shall see the glory of God, the excellency of our God. Folks, then he says, strengthen those weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. This is quoted in Hebrews. It says, lift up the feeble hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knees. Set level paths for your feet. Hebrews. Say to those who are fearful hearted. Say to those who are stressed out. Say to those who are struggling. Say to those who are in debt. Say to those who have lost their jobs. Say to those who are struggling with the coronavirus. Be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Turn to somebody and say, he's going to save you. Angela, he's going to save you. Suzanne, he's going to save you. Eddie, he's going to save you. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about God rescuing his people. Yes. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the godly begging bread. He's going to save us. Yes. Then it says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb will sing. In a story that Jesus told, he talked about this great banquet. The friends and the family were called. They all had other appointments and engagements. So he says, go out and, the second tier, get the blind, get the lame, get the dumb, get the deaf, second tier. And then he says, third tier, go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. And then it says, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. There's a really beautiful devotional called Streams in the Desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. In other words, it's going to be turned into a swamp. Oh, It's going to be verdant. It's going to be plentiful. It's going to be rich with life and water. The habitation of dragons, one translation says. And then it says, there's going to be a highway there. Now, what's the benefit of a highway? We have the Redwood Highway that created the world's fifth largest economy. They just put in another length of freeway just east of us through Willits because there was a bottleneck right there in Willits, and it was difficult. And so what they had to do, they had to lower the mountains, they had to fill the valleys, and they had to bring in the earth movers, and they had to build a highway. So folks, you can go from the bottom of California to the top of California at 70 miles an hour. until you pass through Runner Park, you want to go the speed limit so Officer Escher doesn't pull you over. Okay. There's going to be a highway and a road, but it's going to be a highway of holiness. People, get ready. There's a train a coming. Picking up passengers from coast to coast. There ain't no room for the sinner, right? He goes on and sings, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks on the road, even though they're a fool, shall not go astray. That's why we love freeways, because you can just put your car in autopilot and drive, right? Even I can do it. Okay, even a fool can not go astray. No lion will be there, nor shall there be any ravenous beast on this highway. It shall not be found there. And here comes, folks. This is the last, verse 10. But the redeemed of the Lord shall return on this highway of holiness. They will come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now this would be a good time to say amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. This describes the joy of the exiles returning from Babylon to Zion under Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. This describes the joy of the disciples leaving the Mount of Olives, returning to Jerusalem, waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon them, knowing that their Savior was living with a commission to go and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, and they were full of joy. And folks, this describes you. Because the Bible says it's the feeling of the redeemed when the master says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So, what's our marching orders? Let's fill the Matthew 22 great commandments. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Let's fulfill Matthew 25, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take in the stranger, and finally, let's fulfill Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Could I say that's California? Come here, Jim. So, we have a great commitment to the great commandments, the great commission, and the great mandate to feed, clothe, and house. Today we have in the house a pastor from Fort Bragg.